Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
I love being in Texas, but there's one perk that I do miss from living in California, and that is what I want to talk about today on the podcast. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend our Catholic faith. But on Fridays, we talk about whatever I want to talk about, whatever I think is interesting. We talk about trivia, we talk about history, about science, about unusual paranormal phenomena, weird stories, things you never thought of before. Other times, we'll talk about things that just kind of passions and hobbies and interests of mine, like disaster preparation. That's something that's always on my mind. Actually, I had someone the other day wrote a comment saying, Trent, stop doing disaster preparation videos because they come to life. Because I did that episode about what do you do if the electrical grid goes down? Like, how do you prepare if you're in a blackout? And then here I am in Texas and we have a blackout. So people are saying, Trent, stop it. Okay. Then I'll talk, instead of disaster prep, I'll talk about the other thing that I've enjoyed talking about. And that's going to Disneyland and Disney. So this is one of the few things that I do miss from California. Now, I was not like a big super Disney fan. I didn't go to the theme parks. Like when we lived in Encinitas, I grew up in Encinitas, a little sleepy seaside town about a half hour north of San Diego. But when we lived in San Diego and worked at Catholic Answers in the office, sometimes I would travel. And so I would go and do talks in another part of the country, be gone for a few days. And then I would take a day off. If let's say I was gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the next week I would take Wednesday off during the week. And we had annual passes and we would go up to Disneyland. And I loved just taking my kids up there because it was a clean place to be. It was fun. It was a way to step out of whatever was going on in our lives at that moment and just spend time together as a family in a really fun, clean environment. And clean is what I'm talking about here. I've been to other theme parks. I'm not going to name names. But when you walk around them, though, they just feel kind of grody. Like they're just not nice. But the thing I always enjoyed about Disney was when I walk around, it was a clean, fun experience. I felt like they paid so much attention to detail. And that goes all the way back to Walt Disney. Like when he would go to carnivals or boardwalks, he noticed that people would throw their trash on the ground because they couldn't find a trash can. So what he did was he watched them to see how many steps they would take before they threw their trash on the ground and gave up. And that led him to place trash cans in Disneyland, I think no more than like 100 feet apart. I can't remember the distance, but they have ample trash cans. And even if somebody does drop trash on the ground, like these little Disney employees just kind of swoop in and clean it up and then disappear again. Even the trash cans themselves are painted with a color called forgettable gray or forgettable green. They're painted in this color so that they kind of blend into the background. You don't notice them. So that's what I enjoyed. The only time I did go to Disney by myself was to do speed runs. That I enjoyed because I considered it almost like a sport. I would go and see how many rides I could do in a single day. I think my record is 50. If I can find the video, actually, for those of you who are watching on YouTube, I'll post it at the end of this episode, me doing the 50 ride run at Disneyland. So I do miss that experience with my children, but it has been easier going to Texas because Disneyland has been closed for over a year. It might reopen soon. I don't know why, because Governor Newsom, he said originally theme parks could only open in the yellow tier of California, which means you had to have less than one COVID case per 100,000 people. Now, all of a sudden, they can open in the red tier. I'm sure that has nothing to do with the fact that the recall petition is probably going to go through and it's going to go to the ballot for Newsom to be recalled. I mean, has he done a good job? I don't know. Well, Florida, Walt Disney World in Florida has been open since July. Florida hasn't done any big mandates or any of the lockdowns like what you saw in California, yet they have really similar COVID cases and COVID fatalities, even though Florida has a much older population. You would think Florida would have gotten wrecked by the coronavirus, but it actually did not, because maybe Governor DeSantis knew what he was doing better than Governor Newsom. I mean, Governor Newsom. So that's, you know, it's a little bit easier knowing that Disneyland's been closed anyways, even if we stayed in California. But it's going to reopen and it's not going to be the same. I know at least for the next few years that they're not going to do, at least immediately, they're not doing FastPass, which is a virtual way to hold your place in line to get into rides. Without FastPass, I could not do the 50 ride runs that I normally did. So they are, a lot of things are going to be changed. So it just wouldn't feel the same anyways. But what I want to do today is I want to take you on kind of a virtual walkthrough. So if you're listening to this on audio, I will just walk you through what it was like when we would go and visit Disney, share with you some trivia and other things that I learned along the way. But to get the full experience, I recommend going to the Council of Trent YouTube page, because I'm going to be narrating this while playing a video of a walk through the park. This video comes from the Fresh Baked YouTube channel. It's one of my favorite Disney vlogger channels. He always has some really great insights. He's a super fun guy. So Fresh Baked. And this is a video he did where he just walked through Disneyland. I'm not going to talk about Disney California Adventure. There's some fun stuff there, but more of my memories and nostalgia are Disneyland in particular. And so what he did was he just had a camera on, a GoPro or whatever, and he walked through Disneyland at a, you know, at a slow pace. It takes him about an hour to walk through the park. I think online someone tracked it, and it's about 2.7 miles if you just walk through the entire park. And I know that when I would go there and take my kids, we would walk a lot. When I did my speed runs, I had my pedometer on, I would clock in something like 12 or 13 miles. I think it was like actually 15 or 16 miles of walking in a single day, going back and forth from Disneyland, Disney California Adventure, starting at 8 a.m., going until 10 p.m. at night. So without further ado, I'm going to get the video started here and talk about what it'd be like when we would go. So you would show up and we would get through the gates, then you hear the little magical ring that would go off when you turn the turnstile, and then you would enter Disneyland. You saw the train. When I was a little kid, I was like, we got to get on the train. We got to get on that train. It was probably my favorite ride as a kid there. And so you would see the train pull up. And as you're walking through into Disneyland, there's a berm. There is the train encircles the whole park. And there is a tunnel, two tunnels that you would pass under, one on the left and right side of the entryway. And so you would pass under this tunnel to enter into Disneyland. And it would give you the illusion that you were leaving the outside world and entering into something new. In fact, Walt Disney wanted to have curtains there for people to pass through, but the park engineers said that would be really not hygienic, so they passed on that. And so you would pass through, and you would enter into Main Street USA. So Main Street USA is kind of, it's the first land of the park. It's the one everyone passes into and out of to leave Disneyland. And it's based on Walt Disney's life when he lived in a small town in Missouri at the turn of the century. So it's got like the horse-drawn carriages. It's got the old, very old automobiles circling through. It's very quaint. And Main Street USA, it really serves as the opening credits to the park. You have to imagine the park is kind of like a movie experience. They want you to feel like you're watching a movie or a play, especially a movie. In fact, the employees are called cast members. They're not employees. They're called cast members. When they have to go to an employee-only area, it's called backstage. And so when you're walking down Main Street, it kind of serves as the opening credits to your day at Disneyland. When you look at the different sides, when you walk down Main Street, it's like walking down, obviously, the main street of a town. There are these buildings that are there. And so the buildings actually use something called forced perspective. They're built to look like they're two or three stories high. They get narrower at the top, so they look taller than they actually are. Because if they were real two or three story buildings, they would be kind of looming over everybody. So they use forced perspective. Also, when you walk down Main Street USA, at some parts of the year, they will pump odors into the air, like fresh vanilla, for example. Or during Christmas, they'll pump gingerbread into the air to make it smell nice. So it's just those little things that I enjoy. But they also use forced perspective. As you're walking down Main Street, you're walking down the street into the center of the park, and you're walking towards Sleeping Beauty's castle. Now, Sleeping Beauty's castle was actually, I think it's funny, by the way, that I'm doing this. If for some reason I just never did Catholic apologetics again, I think if I ever lived in California again, I don't know. I've always wanted to be a tour guide. I enjoy when I took people in Israel I loved actually the pilgrimage to Israel, and I hope to do it again to the Holy Land. But I just love taking people around and having the little microphone and narrating and telling people about the different places. So maybe one day if Disneyland reopens, maybe for the patrons at TrenthornPodcast.com who also enjoy Disneyland, we'll do a special Disney walkthrough, and I'll take you through the park if that's ever in the future. So Sleeping Beauty's castle, one of the most iconic parts in Disneyland, was based on Neuenstein Castle in Germany. And I actually took Laura there on our honeymoon. It's a beautiful castle in Bavaria in southern Germany It's breathtaking to behold. Mad King Ludwig, I think, built it, and it was just ornate and huge. And so Sleeping Beauty Castle is based on that, but it's nowhere as big as Neuenstein. In fact, Sleeping Beauty Castle uses the same forced perspective to make it look taller. And when you walk down Main Street, the forced perspective of the buildings make it seems like it's longer to walk towards the castle than to walk away from it when you're leaving the park. So you walk into it. Let me take you on our virtual tour. If you go to the left, you walk around the center square with the statue of Walt Disney, and you walk into Adventureland. So Adventureland is based on like a 1930s jungle depot, and it's themed so well. It's a little bit of a choke point because the streets are narrow. It was designed purposely that way to make you feel like you were in a Moroccan bazaar. One of the attractions there that I really enjoy actually is the Enchanted Tiki Room. It's an acquired taste. A lot of people think that it's cheesy and bad, but as I'm getting older, it's just a bunch of audio animatronic birds who sing to people, and there's also audio animatronic flowers and tiki masks that sing. And it was one of the first attractions to actually have air conditioning and audio animatronics, so people would go there in the afternoon, get a break from the heat, eat a Dole Whip, because when you're there, you got to eat the pineapple soft serve Dole Whip. They're great. And listen to the birds sing. And a lot of people think it's cheesy, but I'm just so sentimental and sappy. I enjoy it. They actually tried to redo the Enchanted Tiki Room many years ago and tried to update it with newer songs and things like that from like 90s pop songs. And it was absolutely terrible. And so I'm glad they went back to the songs they have. It makes you feel like you're at a 1960s tropical review. Then, of course, the other favorite attraction there is the Jungle Cruise. Originally, so the Jungle Cruise, you go through and you're supposed to see animals. Walt Disney wanted to have real animals in the Jungle Cruise for people to see. But once again, the engineers and the advisors told Walt Disney, look, if you have real animals, they're going to be sleeping and nobody's going to see them from the boats. So that's when they decided to do audio animatronic figures instead. And really, audio animatronics, Disney helped to really pioneer that technology. And it started at the 1960s World's Fair. And they really brought that technology in with Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln. Off to the left, as you leave Adventureland, you have Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. That was a really cool ride because it combined basically a dark ride and a motion simulator that tries to make you feel like you're in a Jeep. You're in a car that's moving, but the Jeep has little hydraulics to make it go kind of up and down and feel like you're on this big adventure. Unfortunately, it always kind of breaks down, and so whenever I would go to take my kids to Disneyland, well, they were too small to ride the ride, but whenever I wanted to get on, I would say, you know, Laura, I'm going to quick hop on Indiana Jones before it breaks down today. And so when you leave Adventureland from this Moroccan bazaar, you go into New Orleans Square. So that's to take you back to old New Orleans Square in Louisiana, and the two main rides here that anchor this land would be Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion. So Pirates of the Caribbean was another ride where Walt Disney had originally planned that it would be a walkthrough attraction, that you would have these dioramas, these pirate animatronic figures, and the guests were supposed to just walk through. But then after they came up with It's a Small World and the mechanics related to that, the Imagineers, they call them at Disney, said, oh, let's use boats instead to send people through. And because it uses boats to send people go through the ride at a predictable pace. And also the ride moves people. It is a huge people mover. And so when you walk through New Orleans Square, it's got these narrow streets and shops. It's an area I really enjoy walking through. A few things to notice. There's a restaurant called the Blue Bayou. And that's, if you're watching the video, that's right here on the left. That's the restaurant in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. There's also a door that says 33 on it. It's very nondescript. That's the Club 33 for the high rollers, the fancy schmancy secret restaurant at Disneyland. But the Blue Bayou is a dimly lit restaurant. When you go inside, it feels like it's nighttime and you're dining out on the bayou. When I was dating Laura, actually, when we were, you know, when long, long time when we were first dating, actually, we went with a group of friends to Disneyland, a co-ed group. And I sprung for us to go and eat at the Blue Bayou and take her there. And So I have a really good memory of that when I went and took her, and they had this delicious Monte Cristo sandwich, the heart attack sandwich. So that's a fond memory I have of the Blue Bayou, one of our first, you know, dating experiences. I wanted to show her the best time I could at Disneyland. Like, I mean, Disneyland is, if you want to take someone on a date and you can afford to do it and figure it all out, or even if you're, even as a honeymoon, it's a fun little experience for couples just to have a little magical time. As you walk through New Orleans Square, you'll see by the Haunted Mansion, there is the railway station. And there's a clicking sound, a telegraph sound you can hear if you're ever at the where the train station drops off at New Orleans Squares. The clicking sound is actually Morse code. The telegraph office there, remember, it's supposed to be like a 19th century, early 20th century railroad. That's using Morse code to dictate Walt Disney's opening address in 1955 when Disneyland opened. But I would say in New Orleans Square, my favorite attraction by far is the Haunted Mansion. That is probably, well, not just New Orleans Square. That is my favorite ride at Disneyland because it just showcases Imagineering and storytelling at its best. So the Haunted Mansion is a dark ride, takes you through typical, you know, there's like ghosts and ghouls and spooks, but it's all done in good fun, actually. So I mean, it's not, the beginning part is a little scary, but then it gets silly by the end, but it's never too scary for kids. When you look at the Haunted Mansion, though, what's interesting is that the original proposal for the Haunted Mansion was that it was supposed to be kind of a more run-down attraction. It was supposed to be something that it was like a spooky house at the end of a street that looked all run down. But Walt Disney didn't want that because he didn't want it to detract from the decor of the park because the park was supposed to look really nice. So he told the Imagineers, we'll take care of the outside, you take care of the inside. So he wanted it to look like an old plantation-style southern mansion. It would look really nice on the outside, but with little spooky things like headstones, things like that. And then the inside is where the haunted stuff happens. Then you go past, of course, then you see Splash Mountain. The first time I went on Splash Mountain, I was about, I think I was 8 years old. And I was still just trying to get over my fear of thrill rides. Like when you stand in front of Splash Mountain and you see them go over that huge, it's like 40 or 50 foot drop. When you're a little kid, you're like, oh, man, I can't do it. And so, like, my parents encouraged me, yes, you can. Yes, you can do that. And I feel bad. It's like, we didn't come all this way for you to not ride Splash Mountain. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it, Mom. And I remember going on, and I remember clinging my hands when I was, like, 8 years old to the sides of the car as it's going down that 50-foot drop. I was clinging as hard as I could. I'm like, oh, man, here we go. And so that's why I really want to go back and take my kids. And as you're watching the video, that's the sailing ship Columbia. That's really fun. It goes around the rivers of America, that and the Mark Twain riverboat. But yeah, I was clinging onto the sides. And then when it was all done, I was all wet. I told my mom and dad, I want to go again. I want to go again. And I got in line again. And actually now they have a single rider line. So if you walk past the queue, if you're seeing here in the video, you walk under the railroad bridge, you go to the exit of Splash Mountain. They're not doing this now because of the pandemic, but hopefully it will come back. They had a single rider line. And so the single rider line was something that you could take advantage of to just hop on if there happened to be an open seat in the car. But I just like got right back into the line and I went down the drop again, put my hands up, screaming the whole way. It was great. Another ride here that's severely underappreciated is the Winnie the Pooh ride. If you're watching the video, you'll see that's kind of off to the right here. It's an indoor dark ride. It has really good animatronics. And my kids absolutely love Winnie the Pooh stories. So that's one of the things that's fun. It's like you read stories about these characters and then you take your kids and it really comes to life for them. So that's just a magical thing to share with them. But now I'm going to fast forward a little bit here in the video because when you backtrack from Splash Mountain in that area of the park called Critter Country, it used to be called Bear Country, actually. Now it's Critter Country. If you backtrack to go through the rest of the park, you go through New Orleans Square and into Frontierland. Along the way, though, there by the rivers of America, there's a ton of stroller parking. When you take little kids, one of the banes is trying to figure out a way to park your gigantic stroller. Because I'll tell you this, especially if you take like toddlers or little kids, having like one of the jogger strollers, it is an absolute lifesaver. If you ever go to the park and you don't have one, find a company online and rent a jogger stroller. It will save your life because your kids will be walking so much. Plop them in the stroller. You will not regret it. I mean, pushing is hard, but carrying whiny children is even harder. So when you continue to walk through, you go into Frontierland, and that is supposed to be like, you know, the Old West. And the land's really inspired by Walt Disney's desire for adventure, going on a jungle safari, going into the Old West. And so I really appreciate, once again, the attention to detail here in Frontierland. A few things to note here. Well, one, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, one of my favorite railroad thrill rides. I remember when I took little Matthew on it, I think he must have been like 4 years old. He was barely tall enough to ride the ride. And I took a little video of him riding, and he goes through it, and he was not screaming or smiling. He just had his eyes wide open and was just going through the ride. And I said, "Did you like that?" And he said, "Kind of." So he did the best that he could. But that's a Big Thunder Mountain is a ride that I really enjoy because of the theming. It's like a mine train that's out of control. The other thing that I liked when I was a kid, when I would go through here, is they had a shooting exposition. If you're watching here on the video, it's to the opposite side of these stores. Oh, there it is. The video pans over. That's the shooting exposition. And you would take these little guns with laser sights on them. You put 50 cents in. One of the few attractions at Disneyland where you actually had to pay money on top of the ticket. It was arcade. You know, you put 50 cents in and you would take out the gun. And they had like this shooting range. They would have tombstones and animatronic birds. And they had the little red bullseyes on them. And if you shot them with the gun, something would happen, like the tombstone would shake, the bird would start cawing and flapping his wings. If you hit a shovel, you'd hear a ping and it'd fall over. So when I was like, you know, once again, 8 or 9 years old, my parents would take me to Disney. That's something that I really enjoyed. And in fact, Disneyland was one of the first places where my parents, when I was a little kid, when I was like 9 or 10, where they gave me autonomy, where they said, you know what, Disneyland's a safe place. We want you to feel more like a grown-up, like a bigger kid. So you can go off by yourself and you can just walk around the park. And they gave me, I don't even think I had a cell phone, actually. They told me who to go if I you know, go see a cast member if I had a problem. But I had a floppy hat to keep the sun off my face. I had a fanny pack because I'm a 10-year-old kid. What do I know about what looks cool? I still don't know what looks cool, frankly. And I would walk around. And I remember even here watching this video, this part of Frontierland, it takes me back being a little kid. I had my disposable camera. I talked about this actually in the episode on photography. I had my disposable camera and I would walk through and take pictures and I took selfies. I took selfies of myself with the disposable camera in front of, I remember standing right over here by Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and I would take a selfie with my disposable camera. Obviously, I had to have faith that I had the angle right, and I would put it back in my fanny pack with my other things. I had a little bit of money to go and buy food, and I always wanted to go to a restaurant and get dessert because I could now because I was by myself. And just walk around, and it was a safe and fun experience, and that was just something I really enjoyed. And now I'm going to fast forward again here on the video. I'm going to skip the walkthrough of Galaxy's Edge because I never really took my kids into Galaxy's Edge because there wasn't really anything there for them. They're just getting into Star Wars. The rides, the lines were always too long, and they couldn't go on them. So instead, I would take them to Fantasyland, actually. So that's what we're seeing here in the video. That was the first thing. When we got there at 8 a.m. at the rope drop, they have this rope that you can go into Main Street a half hour before the park officially opens, and you would gather at this rope. And then at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., whenever the park opened, they would drop the rope and you could go. And everybody ran, and people, they would always say, "No running, no running." And so you ended up speed walking. And everyone tried to get to Peter Pan's flight because that's probably the best ride in Fantasyland. So Fantasyland is a lot of dark rides where you have like a little car that takes you through an indoor environment through a story. So you have like Pinocchio, Snow White's Adventures, Peter Pan's Flight. This is the area I took my kids to throughout the whole morning because they love these stories and they love going on these rides. Originally, when Fantasyland was built, it was supposed to look like a carnival or like a medieval fair. And then in the 1980s, they did a total overhaul of Fantasyland to make it look like a Bavarian village, which makes sense because the castle is modeled after a Bavarian or Southern German castle. And so you'd want the rest of the rides to follow suit and look like that. But if you look up the old pictures of like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and a lot of these rides, they're original to the park. The outdoors, it looks way different and way cheaper. Now they look great. And so I would take my kids on these rides. But Peter Pan, even if you see in the video here, there is always a line at Peter Pan except for the first 5 minutes of the day. So when you walk into Fantasyland and you see Peter Pan's flight, it is always at least a 40-minute wait when you go through and you see it. Because it's a dark ride, it's a slow-loading ride, but it's cool because unlike the other dark rides where the track is beneath you, Peter Pan, Walt Disney wanted to give people the illusion of, not the illusion, flying through the air. So the track is above you and you feel like you're flying around all of these, the different audio animatronics and things like that. So the ride is insanely popular. If you go back to Disney and you want to get on Peter Pan's flight, you got to be there first thing in the morning. You got to be the first in line. Whenever I would do a speed run for the park to get all the rides done, Peter Pan was the first one I would get to. 8:01 a.m. I would be right there. But it's funny, when you take your kids to Disney, well, my kids, though, there are these great rides. They would say, we want to go on the carousel. So there's the carousel in the middle of Fantasyland. And kids, you know, kids, it's like, what about, let's go on Space Mountain. But I love the carousel. I'm like, oh, geez, well, if it makes you happy, fine, we'll do that. One of my relatives took her daughter to the zoo. You know how kids are? Like, you pay all this money. You pay like $80 to go to the zoo. You take your daughter to the zoo, and she's like 3 years old. Like, look at that tiger. And then her daughter is just like, look at these pigeons. And like, she can't stop looking at the pigeons all day. It's like, thanks, kids. So in any case, as you continue out from Fantasyland, and I love Fantasyland because it has all of like a lot of the characters and movies my kids really enjoyed. In the video, you can see Dumbo, the flying elephant. My kids absolutely loved Dumbo, the flying elephant. It's one of their favorite rides. So instead of going on Peter Pan, I usually took them straight to Dumbo. There'd only be a 5 minute wait because later in the day, it can be 30, 40 minutes, an hour on really long days. And I would get them on the ride. And what the kids loved was that it went fast and it went high, not too fast, not too high. And I let them pull the little lever that would let them go up and down in the ride. So they just had so much fun with that. Other rides here in Fantasyland I enjoy are the Storybook Land canal boats. The little boats take you on a slow journey through this kind of river experience where you look at little model dioramas of Disney stories. If you're watching the video, on the right are the teacup rides. I have thrown up on the teacups because I went once with a group of co-ed friends. This was back when we were in college, guys and girls. We all just went there. A lot different than taking your family. You push yourself a lot harder. So I made the mistake of getting in the teacup with all the guys, and the girls got another teacup, and they spun you the teacups spin around, and they spun that thing so hard I lost my lunch. And so that was my experience there on the teacups. Looking ahead in Fantasyland, at the edge of it, you have It's a Small World. The theme song for It's a Small World, I think it was designed by the Sherman Brothers. They did a lot of the music for Walt Disney. And it was designed to be a song. Disney actually wanted it to be a ballad, a slow song, but it didn't work for the ride, so they sped it up. You know, it's a world of laughter, a world of tears. And so Small World actually is written and designed in a way so you don't notice it ending. It has like a barber pole effect. You know those old barber poles where they spin the red and white? You don't know where it begins or ends. With It's a Small World, the song feels continuous. The ride takes like 12 minutes. You listen to the song over and over again, though in different languages, but you never notice it starting and stopping, actually. So at the boundary, north of Fantasyland is Toontown. We didn't spend a lot of time there. Laura didn't like it, and I didn't like it either, actually. It just felt not as nice as the rest of Disney, but some people really enjoy Toontown. That's based on the land in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. This is supposed to be where Mickey and everybody lives, but there was nothing really here my kids super enjoyed. Like, I'm not going to wait 40 minutes to walk through Mickey's house and meet Mickey. No, thank you. I'm going to take my kids on other rides that are just a lot more fun. And now for the last part of our virtual tour, I'm going to take you through Tomorrowland, which is the most difficult land in Disneyland for you to plan for, because like, take Frontierland. It's based on the Old West. That's never going to change. You don't have to update the land. But Tomorrowland, if it's a land based on the future, the problem is the future always ends up becoming the present, and then it becomes the past. So it gets really dated. I mean, what people thought the future would be like in the year 1960, what they thought the year 2000 would be like, in some respects, it's kind of similar, like Star Trek, the communicators, where you could look at people's faces even. We have that now with FaceTime. So, I mean, they were right there, but other things you kind of get wrong or it looks dated. So I'll talk about that as we go into Tomorrowland. If you look in the video, though, I have it paused. Starting back up at It's a Small World, you walk south. To get to Tomorrowland, you have to go to the Matterhorn. And so you see the majestic Matterhorn. That's one of my favorite spots, actually, in Disneyland, because they did a great job of recreating it. And it's really like a scale model. It looked just like the Matterhorn in Zermatt, Switzerland. I would love to visit that one day. It's such a beautiful, idyllic place. And the Matterhorn was one of the first kind of steel tubular coaster designs to simulate that kind of toboggan ride going down. They used to have the Skyway. When I was a kid and went to Disneyland, they had the Skyway. This bucket thing that would on wires that went across the park that you would ride in, and it passed through the middle of the Matterhorn. But they had to close it off because some guy jumped from it as part, I think probably as like an insurance scheme. He purposely jumped out of his Skyway and landed in a tree. And then also the Skyway passed through the middle of the Matterhorn. So there was a hole in Matterhorn Mountain, and that actually caused a lot of stress to the mountain itself. So they closed it in, refurbished it, and so the Skyway has not come back since. But if you walk around the Matterhorn on the left side, there are two tracks, by the way, in Matterhorn Mountain. I would say that Fantasyland side is kind of the smoother ride, smoother, a little longer. Tomorrowland is shorter and rougher, but Disneyland won't confirm if that is the case. It's very nice view, actually. When you walk around the Matterhorn, you see the Yachtopia track and the Mark V monorail. The monorail at Disneyland is the first operating monorail in the Western world. Walt Disney was inspired by a lot of things he saw in Europe to want to bring to Disneyland. So you have the monorail, you have Autopia. Autopia is super fun when you're a kid. I love taking my kids on. You drive a car on a track, and the track has a steel thing in the middle so that you can't ever go off the track. So kids love it. I don't know why adults would go on the monorail, but hey, on the Autopia. If you drove 2 hours to get to Disney, I don't know why an adult by themselves would go on the Autopia unless you're me trying to get every single ride done. So you can see in there the Autopia track. There's one going by, but it's like, hey, if you want to drive it, it's a little bumpy. It's fun. Enjoy, I guess. But as you go forward in through Tomorrowland, you see the lagoon, actually. Let's see if we can back up here to show that. The submarine adventure. That was one like from way back in the park's history. You ride around the little submarines. Right now it's themed on Finding Nemo. You sit inside the submarine and you see projections and audio animatronics from the Finding Nemo movie under the water. Though it's a little claustrophobic if you're in the submarine ride. It's a bit of a claustrophobic experience if you're not up for that. Trivia, though, when they first debuted the submarines in Disneyland, they had mermaids. I say real mermaids, not like actual mermaid creatures, but women dressed up as mermaids in the submarine lagoon. But the chlorine in the water turned their hair green, and the mermaids were always passing out from the diesel fumes of the submarines. So in any case, so then you walk past the lagoon, and then you get into Tomorrowland itself. And my favorite ride here to take my kids on is Buzz Lightyear's Astro Adventure. It's a cool ride where it's a dark ride, but you have like a little gun that you can shoot at targets. Let me go back here to show Space Mountain. After the Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain is one of my favorite rides at Disneyland because they do a lot, especially when it's Hyperspace Mountain, when it's the Star Wars themed. I would say the best Star Wars ride at Disney is Hyperspace Mountain because you feel like you're flying in an X-Wing. It's the Space Mountain indoor roller coaster, but they have like TIE fighters set up and projections of X-Wings flying around you, and you hear the lasers going off. It's super good. They should just make it Hyperspace Mountain forever, in my opinion. But I was young enough, I'm pretty sure, I'm not having a confabulation, but Space Mountain is inside this big dome that... One, there used to be an arcade off to the side here called the Starcade that I would play at as a kid. And then there was an escalator that you would ride up. And so you go wait in line. And then you would go up an escalator, a moving sidewalk, I should say. It was a moving sidewalk that went up at an angle like an escalator. And it felt like you were like an astronaut going up to the space shuttle. And it was just so epic. They don't have that anymore. So I'm just kind of sad that that's gone. Oh, there's Boba Fett walking around in the video. Then they got more of the Star Wars stuff in Tomorrowland. Though that actually started decades earlier when Disney worked with Lucasfilm to bring Star Tours, the first Star Wars attraction in Disneyland, into Tomorrowland. One of the first motion simulator rides, actually. When you go through Tomorrowland, look up, you'll see at the top in the center, there's like this spinning thing. You can see it up here with the dishes and things like that. That is a remnant from back when they tried to make Tomorrowland timeless by making it retro future. So they made it look like, oh, if Jules Verne imagined the future. So it was all bronze and steampunk, and it just looked absolutely terrible. So I'm glad that they went back with kind of the more classic white. They actually painted the Space Mountain that bronze copper color, and it looked awful. White is what you should go with. You got the Buzz Lightyear ride over here, as I said, one of my favorites. The track above that runs down the center of Tomorrowland above, that used to be the old People Mover track, the old People Mover attraction. And I loved the People Mover attraction as a kid. It was this slow-moving tram ride that went above Tomorrowland. It would go on this elevated track, but it went inside Space Mountain. It went inside a lot of the rides. And it was just super fun. There was a tunnel that was themed after the movie Tron. So leave a section in the comment below if you've seen Tron. I'm talking about the original Tron, not the reboot of Tron, not the newer one. So as a kid, I liked that. But then they got rid of the People Mover, and they got to bring it back. But in its place, they put one of the worst rides at Disneyland ever that went on that elevated track, and those are the Rocket Rods. So the Rocket Rods are part of the trying to turn Tomorrowland, the Jules Verne retro future, and they actually still have that here a little bit with the Astro Orbiter still has the retro theme to it. But if you see in the track above, the track was designed for slow-moving People Mover trams. The Rocket Rods were supposed to be this high-speed, thrilling ride that took you all around the track of Tomorrowland. But because the track wasn't banked, the car would speed up and then slow down. It was jerky. It was terrible. And I'm so glad they got rid of it. Then you walk out, though, you have this Astro Orbiter ride, which is kind of like Dumbo the Flying Elephant, for those who are just listening, where it's these little rocket rods that spin around in a circle. They go up and down. They go a little faster than Dumbo the Flying Elephant, so they actually make me sick. Laura takes the kids on that ride. I do not. And then finally, to end our tour, of course, when you leave Disneyland, you walk back down Main Street USA, back towards the train station. My favorite memory of that, though, is walking down Main Street at night. Like, if you spent the whole day with your family having fun, you watch the fireworks, and then it's nighttime, and you're walking down Main Street, and it's all dark, and all the stores are lit up with, they're all decorated with incandescent light bulbs, and the one thing you irresistibly want when it's the end of the day at Disney, when you spend the whole day there and you walk down Main Street at night after watching the fireworks, you just badly want ice cream. And they have a bunch of ice cream shops there. You feel like, I earned my ice cream. I walked 15 miles today. So, hey, that was always a lot of fun there. Well, hey, I hope you enjoyed my little virtual tour of Disney and talking about the things that I missed from it. Maybe you picked up some trivia along the way. If you're just listening once again on the podcast, check it out at the Council of Trent YouTube page, because I'm narrating a walking video tour of the parks. If you've never been, it's kind of like a little tour for you to see what it's like. If you've been a lot, might be a little bit of fun nostalgia since it's been closed for over a year. We'll be reopening soon. I'm probably not going to go back with my kids until they don't require masks anymore, so it might be a few years, but it'll be fun. So hey, I had a lot of fun having a little Disney nostalgia trip with you all here on Free For All Friday. I hope you enjoyed it too, and I just really hope you guys have a blessed weekend. So take care, everybody.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.